Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by the Second City's Harold Ramis Film School. Love comedy and filmmaking? The Harold Ramis Film School's year-long program at the Second City is for you. Visit ramisfilmschool.com for more info. Hey, Kellen, how do we get these fine sponsors?
Well, Tim, we are part of the Chicago Podcasting Co-op, which is a cooperative of podcasters and entertainers who have teamed up with businesses and service providers here in the Chicagoland area. You can learn more about it at chicagopodcastingcoop.com or chipodcoop on Twitter.
And Kellen, now, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know, I should say, we're the only podcast that's in this co-op, right?
Actually, so Tim, I want to correct you with that. There is a bunch of different podcasts.
No.
And friends of the show might realize that we actually tend to recommend another podcast from the co-op that they should listen to it. And that job is usually...
That's one of your jobs, right,
It's
Kellen?
My job.
Yeah.
But today we're giving it to Clayton.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What an honor you've bestowed upon me.
It is a real honor.
All right, y'all got to check out Roboism. That's a great podcast right there. They talk about the singularity. I've been trying to read up on that because I think it's like it might happen tomorrow as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know if we have the processing power for it to happen tomorrow.
I don't think we do.
Listen, I don't have a lot of science to back this up. It's more personal fear, but it could happen tomorrow. So listen to Roboism tonight. Turn this one off. Go listen to that one.
Now you say fear. Who's to say it's a bad thing, Clayton?
Yeah, exactly, man. Think about Zenyatta. You know?
Now we're talking my language. Yeah. Overwatch talk, baby.
There you go. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Also, when we talk of games. You should go on over to iTunes right now. Go to your search bar, type in the Nerdologues Presents : Talking Games.
That's right.
There you will find this podcast. We want you to go to the review tab, and we want you to write a review for us. If you write a review, we will read the review here on the podcast. I haven't gotten any reviews lately.
No, and don't spell out colon. It's not like Colin Powell.
It's not a Tim and Eric bit. Put the punctuation.
That's right. But beyond that...
Again, we cannot stress this enough. That was not a Tim and Eric bit that we did.
No.
We are not stealing anything from them. We have absolutely nothing in common as far as I know.
There's no feud between us and Tim and Eric, despite what the blogs were going to tell you.
Yeah, don't listen to the bloggerazzi, all right? I don't need them breathing down my neck.
Anything else?
Go to patreon.com and also search for the Nerdologues, people who help us get this to your ears. Throw them a couple shekels. Yeah. They are collecting shekels this month. So
yes.
Patreon accepts all currency.
Oh, hey, Patreon. We haven't seen
Patreon.
You in a while.
All hail Patreon. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Can't help but notice that Tim didn't do it. But
I feel weird saying all hail Patreon. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah?
The Lord says, worship no other before me.
Tim, I hate to call you on some bullshit, but I know you don't believe any of that.
Damn it.
Patreon, he's been hanging out with the ghost of Lincoln, and he's had a very different sort of spiritual experience.
Oh, really? You've been cheating on Patreon, is that it? Patreon angry!
I hope we come back to this bit in another episode recording soon.
Well, here's the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a podcast that we like to call Talking Games. Yeah. My name is Timothy Robert Dunn.
Yeah.
And I'm cast as a lot of sexy characters in improv and sketch comedy. Because of my voice. Because of the way my shoulder tension keeps my shoulders up by my ears at all times.
Oh, yeah. The ladies love it.
Gives me a broad range of characters. Mm. Really helps my casting. But I don't host this thing alone. To my right is my friend.
Oh, Kellen, Michael Tarrant. That Michael is named after the Archangel Michael. And I'll tell you what, I'm both Catholic and sexy.
Ooh.
I know a lot about books, and I like giving massages and cooking eggs. If you like my voice, you're going to love the
voice. I was waiting for the Catholic fact, but it didn't really pop in.
Oh, you want a Catholic fact? Let me tell you this.
I thought it was set up.
Get married and have a full mass unless you're both Catholic. You can't accept the Eucharist, and if you do, guess what? you're going to hell.
You know what?
That's not really a fact about you, though. That's
you know what I had? I had two friends. One of them had to go through like Catholic classes,
yeah, Catholic
just,
class
America,
just to get married, to have that Catholic
girl.
Mass.
Yeah,
real
weird.
Fun. Come join our wonderful cult. Here's a fact about me: never had the official communion, like never had the official one, but I still go get it. And every time I do, I say, "You love me, God," and God says, "Yeah, I do, bro."
Ooh, that's a Catholic fact.
We still haven't got there yet. I just do want to remind people this is a video game.
It's a video game
but
podcast.
Across from me is my other friend.
Oh, it's Clayton Scrub-a-dub-dub Margesin. Oh, you know, I like to get clean. I take several showers in the summertime because my body gets so greasy.
So dirty.
Did you hear me just accidentally tapping on a pair of headphones on the table? Yeah. I bet people heard that at home and you're like, ooh, who's this sexy rogue? He doesn't care about sound quality.
He loves getting dirty. That's why he's got to take three showers a day.
Yeah, but not like my friend Timothy Robertson Dunnan.
Hey, folks, it's Talking Games.
Your name.
Hey, it's Talking Games. Whoa. We're a podcast. We talk about video games with comedy people and video game people in Chicago. Today we have a very special guest. He has listened to the most Talking Games episodes out of anyone in the goddamn world.
He's hip to all the bits, and he's down with all the clowns.
Yes, because he's a member of the Nerdalogs and our editor of the show, Eric Garneau. Thank you for joining us.
Hey!
Guys. Is Patreon going to be here? I really wanted to meet Patreon.
Oh, boy. You know, Patreon... only likes to show up during the ad read to waste the most important time on it.
That's true. That's fair. Well, maybe I'll sneak her.
Maybe,
there.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Maybe at the end
at
you can talk about the Nerdalogs and their own Patreon fund.
Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe. Who knows?
When you say Patreon this much, it does kind of make Patreon want to show up. That's true.
Eric, have you been playing anything lately?
I have. So I just bought a 2DS a month ago.
Oh, wow. Ooh, so you have one of 13 that are out there in the world right now? Oh.
Yeah, okay. For real,
saucy.
I don't
saucy
understand
talk.
Why you would spend $120 more to buy the 3DS, except
that
for the fact
true.
That the 2DS looks like shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the exact same console without the heathenistic 3D that is just an affront to God and nature anyway.
Right. Catholic.
Yeah, Catholic. No, I get it. I picked it up. I'm doing the rosary right now for that.
But does it, you said it looks like shit. Are you talking about the graphics? Like
no, like the actual shape of the console.
Have you seen this?
Fine?
No,
who cares?
It is a weird block.
It's a weird block, man. I felt the same way. I have a 3DS and I was like, why do I have this, man? I never use the 3D. The battery's not any better. This is silly. And then I look at the 2DS and I'm like, I don't want to be seen in public.
Yeah. It looks like a doorstop.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
It is a hilarious little, like, it's like the little console that just, like, really tried its heart out.
Yeah.
But, man, it just, like, it wasn't going to do it.
But, I mean, and we haven't talked about this a lot. There are some phenomenal games on the DSs.
Oh, absolutely.
On the 3DS, for sure. And the 3DS crushes it.
Yeah,
the 2DS did not do as well.
It plays
everything. Yeah, it plays everything.
Unless it's a new 3DS game. It won't play those games, or it won't play Super Nintendo games.
That's true.
Only the new 3DS.
Which I have one. I have a new 3DS.
When did you get a new 3DS?
Yeah, because I wanted to play that Xenogears game.
Oh, fuck, right. Right.
Yeah, and I bought it before it came out on the Wii U. It felt like a real fool because I had two really hilarious consoles, the new 3DS and the Wii U. Oh, boy.
Even the 3DS XL?
No, so there's the 3DS XL, and then there's it's called the new 3DS, and it's got a better processing. It's got a different, it's got a semi-different button layout, and you can play more advanced games on it, I guess.
You can play, like, most Wii U games on it if the Wii U,
it's the same
was also
fucking
released on
Neo, like, well, PlayStation Neo or your
Vita.
Your Vita or your whatchamacallit, your, Microsoft Scorpio. It's this. You're dividing the marketplace in half, saying like, great. Well, if you own the new one, you can play all these games. But these, like, the Nintendo Legends of Zelda,
Breath of the Wild.
No. The beat 'em up game. That's like the Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, right.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
Hyrule Warriors. So that game you can have on 3DS. It plays perfectly on the new 3DS. But if I play it on my 3DS or you play it on yours, it will not run. It runs at like 10 frames a second.
Yeah.
A second. It's a total fucking shit show. So
it's hilarious that they have this.
Way to Nintendo it up,
console.
Nintendo.
Yeah, seems overly complicated for, like, they could just have one handheld console on that.
That's not the way Nintendo does it, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But I'm using my 2DS to play play the hippest Pokemon game that's out. You guys might have heard of this, Pokemon Yellow.
Oh, I love Pokemon Yellow.
Pretty rad.
That's the one that's got like 100 million people playing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, you walk around and you like go on dates with it and stuff.
That's great.
I'm really on the cutting edge of what's out this summer. No, it's because Amy, who works here at Cards, was playing it like at my shop, and I was like, oh, that seems so fun. I should just get something to be able to play that, and that was definitely the cheapest way. So I've been playing Pokemon Yellow and Mario Kart 7, which came with the 2DS.
Oh, 7's really fun.
7
is a good one.
Great. It is
some good
awesome.
Tracks on that one.
Yeah. We haven't talked about this yet. The Pokemon Go daily users dropped
incredibly
quite a bit recently. Yeah. Are we expecting a big new patch or something?
They've been saying that they're going to introduce a buddy system.
Okay.
And that'll mean that, like, just like with Ash and Pikachu, you'll have a Pokemon who goes around the world with you. But I don't think there's going to be much.
That doesn't seem like that big a deal, right?
So they're not adding battles, player to player or anything like that?
No, but I think they've made their money. I think that's what this game was about, was a cash grab.
This game can collapse and then...
It's not like it's like, oh, but what about all the hours we spent, the memories we made? No, this was a fast cash grab until the Harry Potter game comes out or the fucking something other game. I'm like, what Sony this week said, we are going to highly be investing in our mobile games because of Pokemon Go, you know?
Yeah.
It burned so fast, though, like... From the first week, I kind of thought this would happen because I'd never seen so many people adopt something so quickly.
Yeah.
And then it just... Yeah,
I've not seen a video game be so culturally relevant in a long time.
Right, yeah. Like that immediately for sure. Because obviously like a Mario or a Zelda has that, but not within, you know, those are decades old properties.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Who knows?
Clay?
Yo, what's up?
What you been playing?
Oh, so I went back to a little game called Grandia 2 Anniversary Edition.
Whoa.
What is Grandia?
We're talking like SNES or Genesis?
Oh, Dreamcast, my friend.
yum.
Yeah, I picked this game up a while ago in a Steam like summer sale for like $5. And I was like, oh, this is one of those highly rated JRPGs I never played. Mm-hmm. And I played through a bunch of it all at once, and I really was, like, digging it. And then, like so many of those games, it started to have that, like, third act drag, and I was like, ooh, this is kind of becoming a lot. Yikes. So I put it down for a while. I just picked it back up. That game is incredibly fun. And one of the main reasons why is because if you go around the town and talk to the townspeople who are like those shitty, you know, like Final Fantasy 7 and 8 type townspeople that just say the same
shit. I'm excited for another millennial fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. They're like that, but they have actual interesting personalities. But they still only have like one line of dialogue. But it'll be stuff like, you know, it's like, oh, my husband has been like driving me insane. And, like stuff like that where it's like, oh, wow, there's no side quest here. Mm-hmm. It's just like a nice little bit of flavor text, and there's stuff like that all the time. All the characters are actually kind of interesting, and it also does something I feel like now games do this kind of shit all the time, but at the time it was more interesting and maybe a little bit more radical. They have the one of the villains is basically like the nocturnal version of one of your heroes.
Oh.
So the main sort of like Yuna type character, sister who's going on a quest or whatever. When she falls asleep, she turns into this demon woman named Millennia.
Oh, that is awesome.
And
I like this.
Hilarious. And she's also like super, she's like evil in the fun way, you know, like fucking like Tim Curry. Like,
sure.
Kind of evil. She's like, kinda look at all these people. I can kill all these people. Isn't that hilarious? And it's like
chaotic,
no,
neutral evil where it's like not necessarily all the way, but like still. You're
yeah.
Like,
she like won't wipe out of town, but like she will fuck with people all the time. And she really likes fucking with your party. So she's more kind of a mischievous.
Sure.
She also has a crush on the main character, who also the daylight version of this girl also has a crush on the main character, but they can't talk about it. And it's kind of funny just to see this happening back and forth. It's a very interesting game. It's certainly nothing like innovative in terms of gameplay. It's just like same kind of stuff you saw a lot of, where they were trying to turn turn-based RPGs into something more interesting, and it just kind of was like a half step in the wrong direction. So you're like, okay, whatever, the combat's not the reason I play it, it's for the story, and the story is a lot of fun. And I'm actually kind of, I was like realizing I'm kind of later in the story, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of sad this is going to be over soon. But also, I'm waiting on Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 2. Comes out in about... Yikes. Oh, boy. What time we got?
Tim, what are we going to do?
About four and a half hours.
Oh, we're done with this.
Boy, oh, boy.
There's going to be robots, guys.
Yeah.
Robots.
I can't wait to hear how this game picks up.
What if this... I can't wait. Yeah. I'll tell you all about it next... in 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Killing.
I've got the itch for the Destiny again.
True.
The expansion's coming out on the 21st, and kind of coming back into the world and being like, I haven't been playing in 6 months, and being like, oh, this is fun and this is great. Like maybe playing like 3 hours a week. You know, not necessarily doing the same sort of like, oh, let's do a raid, but just like, play it once a week. It's fun. But I played the beta of Battlefield 1 this weekend.
Ooh.
And I the last Battlefield game I played was Battlefield not 2. What was the
Bad Company?
Bad Company.
Yeah,
Bad
yeah.
Company 2. Love Bad Company 2. And actually really enjoyed the multiplayer. The Vietnam multiplayer maps were really, really fun. And I was like, all right, well, I kind of like this idea of like stepping back and playing in kind of an odder sort of world. And it was great. Actually playing like a support class and being like, oh, well, I got to like take out my syringe and get someone up. Like the reloading mechanics felt clunky. The map we were playing, this like I would be playing. I played for I think my longest stint was probably about 2 hours, and I think twice in the 2 hours I was playing, this giant sandstorm would roll through this town, and you couldn't see like maybe 10 feet in front of you, and then randomly a horse would show up and slice you, and you're like, holy shit!
Yeah,
really, really fun. I don't necessarily know if I will be playing the game when it comes out, but I had a lot of fun playing the multiplayer, and who knows? I mean, those Battlefield games go on sale quite a bit, so maybe if I hear good things when the game comes out, certainly not going to pre-order it, but it was really fun playing the beta. Tim, what about you?
You know, I played a little bit of this week. I've never been able to really dig into it, but Life is Strange?
Life is Strange, really fun game. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's worth going all the way through?
Yes.
Okay.
That first episode's really slow.
Okay.
That first episode is like, you really have to kind of be into the genre. The second episode speeds up. The third episode, you're like, I'm fucking in. And then it just takes off from there.
And it gets nuts, right?
Yeah, it gets really, cool. really nuts. And I liked that a lot.
I want to check that out.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah. I got it on disc if you ever want to borrow it. So.
Ooh. I never got into... I've tried watching Twin Peaks like 4 or 5 times, but got into it.
What do you mean you didn't get into it? It's great.
Kellen, what is going on in that show?
Nothing's going on in the show. That's what makes it good. Like, you're not following it to figure out the mystery. You're just watching their performances being like, how did this, what? This is on network television. This is incredible.
Like, and like a woman was killed.
Yeah, she
was.
Okay, I get the woman was killed.
A woman was killed.
That's all I know about the show.
I love the detective guy. He's on Portlandia. He's great. Mm-hmm.
Kyle McLaughlin's
great.
I had a new point where I dropped off last time. It was when this guy comes back from France and he gives his brother a baguette with butter.
Yeah.
And the two of them just like, it's the most sexual eating of this bread I've ever seen in my life.
I think you have to watch it. It's the same way, like you can watch American Psycho and you're like, boy, this is a really weird horror movie. But then you watch it as a comedy and the movie completely changes. Next time you watch American Psycho, be like, this is a comedy. Think about this as a comedy. It's the same thing with Twin Peaks. Don't think of it as a serious drama. Think about it as a comedy.
Is it a parody of dramas?
I think it is, in the same way that everything Lynch is doing is a commentary on something that exists already. Like, I think people watch, like, and this is a whole fucking other podcast, folks, so get ready. Talking movies real quick.
Talking David Lynch.
Yeah, if you're watching Mulholland Drive and you're like, this movie is so stark and desperate and depressing and it's awful, it's like, well, then you're missing all of the comedy of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're missing the idea of, like, what do fucking people do for stardom, and look at how terrible Hollywood is. I mean, that's what Lynch is really trying to do. And I personally think Twin Peaks is a beautiful movie. Excuse me. Fire Walk With Me is a great movie, and then Twin Peaks the show is really fun and beautiful visual thing to see in terms of, like, wow, can you believe something like this actually fucking happened on network television?
Yeah. Okay, I'm not saying I'm going to go back in. I got a lot of Narcos to watch.
Buddy, If so, you want to sit down and let's watch it and let's deconstruct each episode. Oh, I think God. We got a new podcast that Eric can help us edit and Clayton come on as a guest.
That's right. You know, I refuse to watch the show, but I will help fuck with Tim.
You refuse to watch the show. It would be funny.
I'll just show up after you guys have watched it and be like, all right, what are we doing? We're fucking with Tim. Let's do it.
Wait a second. Like, so who killed the girl? Well, they don't really know. But who killed her? Well, technically, no one killed her. She kind of died on her. What? No, that's not. Yeah.
That sounds like me watching anything. I'm like, wait, where's the magic? Do they have magic? Who's got magic in this world?
Wasn't Twin Peaks popular on the level of like Lost before Lost?
Oh, yes. Okay. It was wildly
and
popular.
And it was pre-internet, though, for the most
part. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Can you imagine what life was like prior?
Yes, I can. I was alive.
Yeah. Oh, me too. But can you imagine?
You can really see Kellen's Catholic roots, by the way, and how hard he was proselytizing to Tim. Where Tim's
oh,
like,
I
no,
was.
Man, I'm good. I don't need to watch it.
Folks, I was standing up, by the way, when I was doing all that, and I just happened to have a Bible here in my pocket right
there's
here.
There's a TV show. I think it would change your life 13. If you watched it, sir. Boy.
And lo, a pie was given on this day with good coffee, and they all had it. And the log lady said, the girl is in the room.
And I like nice crisp bacon. That's the only reference I know from Twin Peaks. Eric, you have a new podcast.
All right, here we go. Doing the podcast.
It's called Talkin' Lynch.
Hey!
Motherfucker, you stole it.
Son of a bitch!
Nope, that's not right. My new podcast is called Blank Cassette. It launched last Thursday on Nerdalogs.com, and it is a show that looks at mixtapes. So people submit their mixes to me, and then I interview them and kind of splice in interview clips with song clips, and it kind of becomes like another storytelling show but about the music and about where these people were when they made their tapes.
Oh, very cool. Very good. Now, are these all pre-made tapes?
Yes. I have very few rules, but one of my only hard and fast rules is it cannot be a mix you made for the show, because to me that like ruins the kind of the biographical angle of it. Like, I don't want someone to present or to sculpt something specifically for a podcast audience. I want to get the reason for why they made it in the first place.
Oh, now, is this a physical tape, though? Does it need to come in a tape, or I could send you a Spotify or a playlist?
Oh, yeah. Any form from tape on up to Spotify. I think everything I've done so far has been CDs or Spotify, mostly because I don't have a lot of friends who are old enough to make actual tapes, I think. That was kind of I made some, you know, tape stuff off the radio when I was a real little kid, but I think by the time I was really making mixes, it was CDs, so. But yeah, I mean, there's just something kind of nostalgic about the iconography of a cassette, so.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, right?
Man.
So that's the symbol for the show.
And today for our show, we wanted to go with a music theme, so we wanted to talk about the craze we all experienced. For me, it was in college, of the Guitar Heroes.
Yes.
Eric, you were a big fan.
I was.
Tell us about your introduction to Guitar Hero.
Yeah, so Guitar Hero, I kind of picked up a little behind the curve because I think I just graduated college when it came out. And I think, college is kind of where that the groundswell was formed for that. So I saw a bunch of my friends posting about it on Facebook. And at first, I was a little resistant, as you tend to be when you're like, oh, I'm a cool kid who has better taste than everybody. Like, oh, it's just a dumb plastic guitar. Like, it's Dance Dance Revolution with your fingers. But then, I don't know, I saw some friends playing and it looked sweet. So I bought Guitar Hero 1 and 2, I think, at the same time. And but really, Rock Band was the big revolutionary thing for me. Like, I remember, right? Yeah. Like, at the time that came out, I owned a comic book store, and we would use the back room to have Rock Band parties sometimes. It was so fun. Like, after hours, we would just get a big projector and, like, put it up on a movie screen and just, like, play the hell out of Rock Band, and that was the best. Like, actually instrumental in bringing music back into my life, because that was a time when I was, you know, running a business. I didn't really do much creatively, and that kind of scratched my rock star itch, which I've since come to embrace a little bit more after that.
Nice. Now, Eric, you play music in real life, though, right?
I do.
Yes. Now, how long have you been playing music?
I've been playing music since, I started playing cello in, like, fifth or sixth grade.
Wow. Okay. Guitar. So real music.
Yeah. And then guitar in seventh or eighth grade.
Mm-hmm. So was that part of the bias against Rock Band and Guitar Hero, this idea of, like, well, you played, quote-unquote, real music, so why would you need to go and play a video game about it?
I'm sure that was a large part of it at the beginning. It's like, oh, this isn't a real guitar. But, you know, that's not the point of it.
Sure.
So you just have to get over that. But the interesting thing about Rock Band is it really does teach you how to play drums, especially if you have the electronic drum kit, which I definitely paid for the upgrade, and I got the cymbal kit and everything. And, I mean, it kind of teaches you how to sing. I feel like the singing is the weakest aspect of those games. especially because singing is like such a personal thing where it's not about matching the notes. It's about putting yourself into it more.
Yeah.
But yeah, like a Rock Band, it taught me how to drum, which was the one rock instrument I couldn't do before that game came out.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have fond memories of college parties that had Rock Band or a Guitar Hero, because they were very specific parties. It was like you couldn't have like a rager with Guitar Hero going
no,
on.
No, no, no.
It would be like everybody, like half the party hovering around this mm-hmm. hovering around the television, and then like a few people like wishing they were around the television or not being into mm-hmm. it at all. But yeah, I was a huge fan. We played it a lot at the Porch, my senior year abode, and porch. I also the Porch.
Was that the name of your place?
We had names for all the like senior theater houses at Illinois Wesleyan.
No.
Oh boy.
I'm not
going to judge you because at Oregon we had the blue house and we had the green house, and the green house was the boys' house and the blue house was the girls' house.
Sure. We had the Porch. We had HQ. We had third base. That's where the baseball players lived.
That wasn't where people.
I think that's also the connotation. That
very
they were
nice.
Going for
way to go, baseball
one.
Boys. Boys of summer right here.
Yeah. All right. Sports.
Clayton knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
Postseason, right? Yeah.
Right. Okay. Maybe.
Also a Don Henley song, though. So
hey.
You know. Hey. Get out of here, Don Henley. Don Henley always trying to come into my baseball game. Get out of here, Don Henley.
Is that one that's like, played it till my fingers bled?
No, that's Summer of 69.
Damn it.
Boys of Summer is like, I can see you, your brown skin shining in the sun.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The point is, Guitar Hero is great.
Yeah.
I played a lot of Rock Band, too.
Yeah, I played a lot of Rock Band. I didn't have a console at the time that could play Guitar Hero, and I think Rock Band was the first game I played. And I remember looking at the song selection for Rock Band and being like, holy shit, this is great. Like, look at all the wide variety of things you could do. Because it felt like, Guitar Hero was like, all right, well, it's going to be rock stuff. It's going to be kind of, not to make a pun, but kind of one note. Whereas suddenly...
Woo.
But suddenly, you know, Rock Band is like, oh, we're going to do some different stuff here. We're going to kind of mess around. We're going to see what we can do. And like, it's noticing that like, my friends who weren't necessarily into sort of heavy metal or punk music could suddenly hear these sort of songs and be like, oh, this is great. And then to see how other music was slowly being incorporated into the library, which continued to grow, which I thought was one of the best parts about Rock Band, is it was like, oh, this is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, which is like, well, then the game's never going to get old. Right.
Yeah. And that's a great point. There's songs in Rock Band that you would never have in Guitar Hero, like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Yeah.
Like Maps would never be in Guitar Hero. Because there's no like real good guitar part for it, but that allowed you to spread it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton, I think one of the first times I played Rock Band was at a party at your place where we played Rock Band, and then there was also like intense laser tag upstairs.
Oh, yeah. I remember that party.
Like I pulled my hamstring playing laser tag at your house.
We had Golden Gun at one point for laser tag, which was one gun had like 10 lives and the other ones all had one.
That's great.
Yeah, it was like everyone versus the Golden Gun. Ah, man. Laser tag in my courtyard was a lot of fun back in the day, back when I was not a million-year-old man like I am now. I still play. I mean, I don't play Rock Band anymore. That's a lie. But I still have it like around, and every now and then I'll be like, oh, man, like I should jump back into like playing some drums on Rock Band. Like that was super fun. But oh man, just breaking out the gear for it and everything is a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that was the problem with the game, is it suddenly became too cost prohibitive to keep up with it. You know, it was like, well, I would love to be able to spend money on these songs, and I would love to get better guitars and a better drum kit, but at a certain point you're like, well, I also want to play different video games. And you know, that was such a huge thrill. So what Blank Hero was trademarked, right? It was one of those things where you couldn't just do another hero.
DJ
like
Hero.
DJ Hero, Piano Hero. There was a
lot
of...
Wait, there was Piano
there was,
Hero?
There was going to be a piano game, but that got scrapped after DJ Hero kind of fell on its face.
Yeah.
Trademarked by Activision, I believe,
correct?
Because they teamed up with Harmonix for Guitar Hero 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
and they went their separate ways.
Yes.
And Activision made Guitar Hero 3, which is not a great entry in that franchise.
I'm just imagining... Piano Hero is just all, it's just like Ben Folds.
And Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
Billy John. Elton John.
That sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. But there was does sound so fun.
Yeah.
So in Rock Band 2, they added a keyboard, and they had like a Billy Joel pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I had the keyboard. Yeah. And it was super fun.
That's got to be the only Billy Joel DLC on the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
Actually, Call of Duty.
Billy
Joel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bulletstorm with Billy Joel.
Fuck, I'm forgetting all these.
You keep following me, I'm going to kill you, dick.
I think there's a Telltale game with Billy Joel.
It's
and
just
actually,
his life.
It's his life.
Whether or not he's going to stay with Christie Brinkley.
Exactly. Yeah, and then, like, I think the fifth episode, he finally gets in that drunk driving accident.
Ooh, we all knew it. We all knew it was coming.
Big shots fired at you, Billy Joel. Come at me.
Yeah, take that. Hey, take that all the way to your uptown, girl, motherfucker.
Because you know what? I'm moving out. We could literally do this until I have a heart attack.
Okay. All right.
The interesting thing is that Billy Joel pack went really deep. I believe Miami 2017 is
on
there. Wow. Like, that is
great. He told them, he's like, I'm only doing this if you include Miami 2017. Yeah. It is my magnum opus.
And that song became way more relevant after 9/11. Not to like say that he planned 9/11, guys. That would be crazy. But
I think you have a place on our conspiracy theory podcast that's starting right now. Okay, here's what's going on. All right, so how hot can jet fuel get? Anyway. At what point did? Because I don't know when it happened. When I just was like. I looked over at my Rock Band like drum kit, and I was like, "It's been 5 years since I've touched that thing." You know, like when did that happen? I don't know if we
DJ Hero. I don't know when it specifically was.
It might have been when DJ Hero came out.
You said Guitar Hero wasn't a great like intro into the series. I don't remember fond memories of that one. Guitar Hero 2 feels like the height to me.
Yeah. Guitar Hero 2 and Rock Band came out like pretty close to each other. Mm-hmm. I think those were the two. Big ones. Yeah, I was actually just trying to think of when I stopped playing. And it was definitely after Rock Band 2. And I think it was just the sheer amount of DLC coupled with the fact that, like, nothing can maintain its novelty forever.
No.
Yeah.
It wasn't a hard decision to stop. It was just like, all right, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. Especially because, the equipment takes so much room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a time, man, where I would, like, by myself, this is embarrassing, probably, but... There was this big steam pipe that went through a shitty garden apartment that I used to rent, and I would loop the microphone over that so that I could sing while playing guitar.
That's amazing.
And it was like I was playing like two parts of the song, and it was like it was pretty fun. It felt like you were a real rock star. And then all at once it would be like, what the fuck am I doing? Like,
was this in that this first year you were in Chicago?
This is my second year in Chicago, which was probably my toughest year in Chicago.
There you go.
That was a bad time, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd gotten dumped. I had a terrible job. I had a terrible apartment. I had, like, no friends. I was like, fuck it. I can sing, play Rock Band by myself. I'm the greatest.
Was this before or after you got way too into Fallout 3? I feel like I have the timeline of your early sadness in Chicago through video games.
No, it was Fallout 3 and then Rock Band. And then
that's funny.
And then, et cetera. Back in the Suikoden 2, and I was like, you know what? I'm not such a bad guy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to learn from my mistakes.
I did the same thing. I had a mic stand from my band days, and I would just put the Rock Band mic in the mic stand.
Mm-hmm. So cool, right? Isn't it so fun?
I had a, like, it could only be songs you knew pretty well, because you couldn't read the lyrics and the note charts. And then I always set the vocals to, like, easy. Just so it wouldn't penalize me for not being perfect, but it was the most.
Yeah, isn't that what you're just looking for from life, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
Just trying to get through.
Just don't penalize me for not being perfect, man. You know what I'm talking about?
Did you play on expert level with the instruments, though?
I tried. I got pretty good with drums and guitar. I never got close with, like, vocals, of course.
Same. I think I maxed out at medium on vocals, but I was expert drum and guitar at the end.
Yeah.
Not, like, I couldn't ever beat the top tier for either of those, but...
No, and I would frequently, like, lose or have to, like, bail myself out with star power. But I had a great time. It was still... It added, like, a weird element of challenge to the game where you really were, like, trying to think, like, a little bit ahead and stuff like that. It was really fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I still have memories of my... roommate in college, Nick Simon, like trying to do expert, like Carry On My Wayward Son or something, and then like bailing and like hearing that, like,
Yeah.
So, the band's like yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Boo.
So in the last year, though, both Guitar Hero and Rock Band had new games come out. And I think the surprising part for me was to hear that Rock Band was the game that failed and that Guitar Hero was the one that succeeded.
Oh, is that right?
Because Guitar Hero Live, I believe, was the new one, where it was this idea of they had kind of completely revamped it, where the experience was you were kind of having a augmented reality experience. You were on stage. You saw your band play, your bandmates there. It was just about the guitar experience. And what they had done is they had filmed all these sort of fake shows where there was live people there. They were filming people. So if you were playing well, more people came in. The show
that
got better.
That is awesome.
And then if you were doing bad, you could literally see people in the audience, like on their phones, checked out.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Cool.
Yeah. And then this other aspect of it was where there was Guitar Hero TV, where you were competing against other people playing in the world.
Oh, no.
And there was a random playing list that would come up. So you were just sitting there at home playing guitar and you were competing and seeing like how well you could do. And you could see everyone playing at the same time. Whereas Rock Band was just kind of the same Rock Band game, same peripherals, same sort of problems. So it's odd kind of seeing that Activision was the one to see that they were going to take a giant step forward, where it felt like Rock Band was going to continue to get better and better and better that way.
Man.
Yeah, I wonder if it was their lack of innovation that did them in, really.
Yeah, I think so.
That plus the fact that I think you said it is such a huge buy-in. Like, to get everything for Rock Band, it's $200 or so. It's like buying a new console, and it takes over your living room.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero's one thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So
that is true. Just have that guitar.
Yeah.
Man.
So does that mean that we've invented... Does anyone know what I'm referencing here? Like, episode 2 of Black Mirror, when the woman is doing the singing contest?
Yes.
Okay, so that game that she's in, that's new Guitar Hero Live.
It feels similar to that, yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Go
but
watch
but
Black
as
Mirror.
Opposed to you know, you being a person who, you know, lives in a subterranean world
and then getting roped into prostitution.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't happen in the game.
Okay.
Yet.
Understood.
There's some DLC that's
going
to be coming up. Yeah, yeah.
Never. Is it like that first episode of Black Mirror where the prime minister has sex with a pig?
Is that where you stopped?
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen
on
television.
Even think,
I was just like, okay, all right. I think that's as good as it's going to get. I've never seen that happen before.
It's
I don't
TV.
Think I'll ever see that again. He has sex. At the end of it is just like, wow, they really were just watching this. This guy's having sex with a pig.
And he's got to finish. He's got to finish.
Anytime I see that actor in anything, I'm like, and I'm usually really good about separating, but I'm like, why is this guy familiar with me? It's the pig fucker.
I got to say, as actors, guys, how much money would you have to be offered to take that role? Because I feel like that would be the thing. You're like, well, I'm going to be the known as the guy who fucked the pig.
I am already known as so many guy who did this thing. I don't think it will matter. I would... $70,000.
You are in the Chicago comedy community. You are a guy that drank his own pee on stage.
Yes. A couple times.
For killed.
Free. I
hate to say it, guys, but I killed. No. So stupid.
And you got paid like not $70,000 for those shows.
Yeah.
I'm
no. A very small fraction of that, which was 0%.
Oh, no.
I believe I was paid.
Wow.
You just did it for the love of the game and of urine.
Yep. Hey, man, you got to test your limits. Otherwise, what's the point of living? Just a little bit. Pee Drink Hero is what we're talking about today.
So, I mean, I wonder what would have to happen then in terms of for the future what's going to happen in the future? Are our children or our children's children going to look at these and be like, boy, I think about on the Super Nintendo when you have the bazooka games, you know, it's like because I'm thinking about peripheral games, I'm thinking about this in the sense
the
of
hardware games,
where it's like, well, you need to have this hardware to be able to play this game correctly.
You're
where it's like
Nintendo Track and Field,
exactly,
or
your Wii Fits or something else, like where you need this peripheral to actually be able to experience the game. Will it be another music game? Will it be something else? Because I think people like karaoke. People really enjoy experiencing that. There's another karaoke game right now where you just sing into your phone as opposed to needing to have the actual microphone there. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that is something that can
like a living nightmare. It sounds like imagine being at a bar and people are like, "We're just gonna play our own karaoke game." And it's fuck off. Are you kidding?
I came here to drink and to forget my pain.
I'm here to not be around this kind of behavior specifically.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also strange to think of, not strange, but I think it's interesting to think about that the social experience that these games brought and how maybe better internet kind of caused a lot of us, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, we used to go over to someone's house every single weekend and play Rock Band and Guitar Hero, and then suddenly it was like, oh, well, the internet's better now, so why do we all need to get together and do this?
Yeah, I mean, you have YouTube is just full of young people singing.
Yeah.
That's so
unfortunately
much of YouTube. Like, if you found a way to just easy... Okay, it's a game where people sing and they are judged, hopefully not by horrible people. You know, you can perform in front of crowds of other people who are logged on or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be a huge hit, specifically with this upcoming generation.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know what that looks like or what the hook is.
It's called the Singing Olympics. You're at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You have all these different nationalities of judges. And also, there's like a billion Ryan Lochte references. Like, it's so dated to the 2016 Olympics.
I feel like we're just talking about Eurovision. Is that what this is?
Oh, my God.
There's got to be something. There's got to be something like... that uses that hardware and uses music, and it's like there's like an RPG storyline or something.
Oh,
right?
My God. That would
wouldn't
be
there, great.
Like, Eric looks like he knows the name.
Yeah.
No. Eric's about to tell us what it is.
I was just thinking, I do feel a little bit, not to sound too much like a grumpy old man, but...
Please, you're with us, Eric.
That's fair. Rock... already, like, the idea of a rock band is such like a boutique thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost an antiquated concept. Like, there's always going to be indie bands doing it, but when you look, and this was true when the original game came out too, but look at the charts. Like, there was some horrible statistic from like 2010, like three rock bands made it in the Billboard top 100, and like, I wouldn't have called any of them rock. Like, the highest was Train. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, they're not a rock band.
Yeah,
but they're a band that plays rock instruments. Mm-hmm. I guess so. I don't know. Like, it's just less and less a thing of pop culture. Like, is there such a thing as like EDM hero or pop star hero?
I would love EDM hero. I think that'd be great.
I bet here's how you would make EDM hero. You just make a bunch of mini games that are like kind of dumb mini games,
like
a
WarioWare.
Yeah, a WarioWare type thing, and it like builds out an EDM song, and by the end you play it at a concert, and you're just able to like go around, and then they judge you for like how it's going or whatever, and you could just go around and hang out with them, like Girl Talk does at his concerts.
Yeah,
here.
I like that.
Awesome would that be?
I do think Tim's got a point, though. I would love to see a heavy role-playing game with the music thing tacked onto it.
Like, there's got to be like a young Korean girls' school or something like that, and they form a rock band. The movie Linda, Linda, Linda. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
but I'm like in Lady RPG Baby form. The other way, where it's a young Korean rock band and they decide to go into the metal world.
Ooh, wow. Now that would be great.
Yeah, that's the way to be.
So storyline wise, like, I'm thinking of what's that Jack Black
School of Rocks?
No, the video game.
Brutal Legend.
No, that doesn't use music as the gameplay, but you could do something like that with the storyline. Mm-hmm. But to have them actually playing the instruments, that'd be amazing.
That would be so cool. Well, why didn't they make this game? Someone make this game.
Now, I will say this.
They must have made this game.
Was an idea, and this is going to be ludicrous, and this might tie into an episode that's going to come out in the future. There was a Guitar Hero MMO on Activision's books for a while. For real.
What is
what?
That?
So, but it would be this. It'd be that idea of you are a rock star, and you form a guild that is your rock band, and you are performing against other rock people that way. And, you know, maybe that's... when I say it out loud, it sounds so stupid, but I can see the hook.
Yeah, I can see it working.
I can see the hook.
Just like a good pop song, you can see the hook.
Yeah.
See that hook.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved those games so much. I just can't imagine going back to them. But for a funny and fun storyline, that'd be such a fun, like, just kind of like skimming the surface kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anybody know of any games like that?
Well, there are a lot of rhythm games, and I think that's the difference. Is it's like those, the Rock Band games and the Guitar Hero games, it was such a fantasy versus if I'm on my 3DS or my 2DS, there's plenty of rhythm games I can play that I'm like, I'm not playing an instrument. I'm just tapping.
Yeah, they're unsatisfying. Yeah.
But it's the same thing. You're just tapping it in a certain way that makes you feel like you're living a fantasy of being, and I would say the drums is the only thing where you're like actually doing something. But I also never played, what was it, Rocksmith or Guitarsmith, where you actually had the real guitar there who was teaching you how to play?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you play that, Eric?
No, I never did. That feels not... I mean, I guess I can't say with authority, but that doesn't feel that much like a game. Like, you're just literally learning guitar.
It's a guitar tutorial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning guitar on like a non-guitar? Is this or
no,
is it actually
a real guitar?
It's a real guitar.
It's not like a controller, and then you're really just playing guitar to backing tracks. That's all that is.
It's very strange.
I mean, that's cool if that's what you want to do, but yeah, it doesn't feel like a video game.
Yeah. I mean, even with Rock Band, it was like, I remember, did you guys make your own characters in it?
No.
Like you and your friends?
No.
I did that. Oh, yeah. Eric's nodding. Yeah, he did it too.
Oh, yeah.
I did that with me and my group of friends. There was like me and Steph Cook and Joey Dundale, like always jamming out together. And it was so fun. But
I would pay money to see that happen.
Yeah. Oh, well, in actuality.
Who was singing at that point?
Steph usually would insist on singing.
There you go. Yeah. Joey on drums?
Joey on drums or guitar. Okay. But usually he would play guitar and I would play drums.
Okay.
Yeah, it was super fun. Sometimes we get a fourth person to play bass, maybe like a Nate Sherman, friend of the show. Nate Sherman.
Oh, I love Nate. That's I want to put Joey Dundale in one of the Ramones costumes and put him on stage. Let's make that happen.
Yeah. It's all we got to do. We just got to go to New York.
Get him dressed up like the Ramones and just have him walk down the street. And
he might already be dressed up that way by the time we get there. Who knows?
Who knows?
Say we got a 50-50 shot. Callan, you're drinking a beer. But Tim,
yes,
you look like you had something to say.
Oh, do you guys remember the episode of Heroes where the cheerleader plays Guitar Hero 2? And it's like the laziest product integration you'll ever see in your life.
Is it lazier than Nissan Versa in the first episode of Heroes?
Oh, Jesus. Heroes Reborn?
No. The first episode of the first season of Heroes. All the Nissan Versa shit.
No, I didn't see that.
Watch the first episode and watch and be like, why are they all talking about how good the Nissan Versa is?
Everyone drives a Nissan Versa.
Drives a Nissan Versa. Yeah. And who? The Japanese character who can travel through time? He's like, Nissan Versa. That's all he knows how to say in English. And he's constantly saying it.
That is a real bummer.
Yes.
His name is Hero.
His name is Hero. Right. Yeah. I was going to say Hero, but I'm like, well, I don't think that's,
that's
right.
That's too obvious.
Yeah. A little on the nose, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, was the reason that game kind of came to an end because we all just wanted to start playing our own music? Because, I mean, I think Eric made a good point about, like, Rocksmith was just you learning how to play guitar. It wasn't a game. And at a certain point, the game kind of hit a ceiling where it was like, it's not a game anymore. We all want to just go out and play music.
I just think it was never going to be... A new song pack was never going to be enough of a hook. Once you got Guitar
Hero... Even the
Hero,
Billy Joel song pack, not enough of a hook.
It almost got me back.
Almost.
But not quite.
I also think this ties in a little bit with like the fall of arcades, because like Guitar Hero was something that people would go to arcades. They had cabinets.
You can still go to the Regal Cinema on Western, and there is a giant Guitar Hero game, and people are playing that all the time.
Oh, man, I would totally do that for a birthday.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
arcades bought into that hard because they were like, oh, thank God, something people will actually come out to play nowadays.
And here we are a few years later, and it's like, well, kind of. Yeah. But only at an arcade, probably. Like, yeah, I think I got rid of most of my equipment for it.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer. I don't know.
So, I mean, so then but I guess I'm thinking about timeline, and I'm like, oh, that's right when the fucking iPhone came out. Like, that's, like, thinking about time-wise.
Oh, yeah,
it's
right.
Like
early iPhone, yeah.
Yeah, early iPhone came out that time, because I moved to Chicago, and I think I got the iPhone 4, and that was 8 years ago. So somebody do some math for me. Anyways,
no,
that was 8 years ago.
8 years
ago. There's your math.
But like, I'm thinking about so when I graduated from college, I'm like, well, that was really the last time I was playing a Rock Band game.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it lasted longer for me, but there is something about it that feels so like specific to that time, and I don't know. I'm sure a lot of it's the technology and just where we were in our lives, but it would feel weird to me now. I'm 32 to go back and pick up a plastic guitar. And maybe part of that is because I can play real guitar on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's true.
I don't need that fix, but I don't know. I loved it, and I don't see myself ever really wanting to go back.
Same here.
Do you guys think Guitar Hero is going to be looked back at as like influential or like people's top 10 or anything?
I don't think so. I think it was so specific. I think it will be an honorable mention in terms of like, you know, if IGN...
It did something new.
It did something new, or they'll be like, you know, most influential games, they'll say, honorable mention goes to Rock Band and Guitar Hero for having such a great spot in our hearts. But like, I mean, it's never going to be on anybody's list the same way that like Gone Home or Journey or fucking BioShock is going to be in terms of a game-changing, like that moved... Because we're not seeing any of that those mechanics anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was really just a tap rhythm game that kind of tapped into something else.
It was a fantasy fulfillment game, too. Yes. I think you guys nailed that. And, you know, there's so many fantasy fulfillment games that, like, oh, man, they were real fun. But, you know, like, I'm thinking, like, Dynasty Warriors.
Hatoku Boyfriends.
Hatoku Boyfriend, a big one for me.
My big fantasy.
I really wanted to fall in love with a bird that then turns out to be a ghost.
I want to kill himself.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Ghost of a bird. Oh, man. I will never forget that. For as long as I live, I will never forget that moment when we're all sitting there and it's like, is he a ghost? Oh, my fucking God. He's
a ghost.
We're
probably 18 hours into
the 24-hour marathon. Yeah, it was a real bummer that people didn't see that. I mean, there were some people who saw it.
Sammy got like screen grabs of our reaction shot of just like, are you kidding me? We put so much time into this fucking stupid game.
It's so fun, man. So fun.
Pudding has taken over the world. All right.
as far as top 10 lists, like, obviously I'm not a video game critic, but it would make mine. Rock Band would make mine only because I'm not really a heavy gamer. And so when I think of my favorite games, it's almost all games that I've had a lot of fun in, like, friend groups with, and Rock Band is for sure at the top of that list. It provided as many hours of entertainment as, like, GoldenEye or Smash Brothers or Mario.
Totally. Yeah, I get that. Totally. In terms of your personal connection to it, and that's what I think that would be the thing that would keep it off, like, someone who was like a publication like IGN or Kotaku, they wouldn't do that because it's such a personal experience.
Right.
Like, I don't know how they would aggregate that to be there. But I think if you said to someone, hey, do you play video games? Oh, yeah. Did you ever play Rock Band? Oh, absolutely. And we could all talk about late nights, having a good time with our friends and our bands that way.
Yeah, I guess that's a great point. Like, as far as being an influential video game, I can't imagine that it is. It might have been influential on the music industry in certain ways. I don't know if I'm equipped to talk about that, but I'm guessing maybe it
more was equipped than the rest of us. Probably.
Absolutely,
it's probably true. 100%. But yeah, I don't know. That just now came to me. But I bet there were some weird effects of Rock Band, like with licensing and things. Like, I don't know. There's got to be something there.
It is crazy the licensing they got for so many songs.
And do you remember when it started? Like, Guitar Hero was almost all covers. Like, it was a big deal to get an actual recording. And two was like half and half. And then by the time we got to Rock Band, I think if they couldn't get the original recording, it was just they weren't going to do it.
Yeah.
No,
and that
I remember
the selling point of Rock Band. It's like, no more covers. This is the real thing.
Yeah. I remember that being like, it's like, holy shit. And like, Creep was on there. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's like, Radiohead doesn't have fucking like licensing for Creep. How did you get this? That was amazing. That was a crazy moment. I mean, Creep is like probably not the song everyone connects with the most. It's like a fun party game. But I just remember seeing it on there and being like, what the fuck?
Or like Metallica, like a notoriously hard to license.
Yeah. Metallica. I still remember watching people playing fucking like Layla, or not Layla. What was that Allman Brothers song that was on one of the Guitar Heroes?
Oh, not Ramblin' Man. It was an even longer one. Jessica?
Yeah. Jessica. Yeah. It was Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, another woman's name song. And I was like cracking up watching two of my friends like trying so hard on expert mode. And that song is like 18 minutes long or something insane. Oh, it was so funny. But yeah, like just stuff like that. That's like, I'm never going to forget like how crazy that experience was or how I felt when I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, we fucking jammed out to whatever song, you know, and just like partied all night. Playing like fucking Chop Suey.
I mean, there's nothing else. It got music into people's hands. And like, I saw a lot of people who were like, oh, I'm not into metal. And then they played, you know, a fucking
like Coheed or something.
Yeah, exactly. Where they would be like, oh, wow, this is really accessible. I'm enjoying this. And it's like they were able to kind of cross through the barrier and experience that. Where I feel like GG Hero could have done that to some people, but it was like, it was such a silly idea.
No one was going to buy this new DJ thing at that point, were they? Yeah.
I mean, they already reached the peak at that point, so who knows, man.
Also, it was just such a strange, like, this is not at all a fantasy of mine. Like, I've never fantasized
me neither.
Yeah. About being a DJ. Maybe I'm sure there are people who have. I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
But I bet they probably themselves fantasized more about being a rock star.
I think really that music exposure, that probably is its lasting effect more so. It's like it's a curated playlist. You know, we're getting into my territory now.
Ooh.
Like, it's something that, I don't know, the tastemakers at Harmonix were, they thought, okay, here's like 40 or 50 songs that will give you a wide berth of what rock and roll music has to offer. And I remember I saw the New Pornographers live, and they would always joke about the fact that like their song was in the game, and the singer AC Newman was like, yeah, I love it when kids say they hate my music because that means that they had to sit through my song to get to Iron Maiden.
Yeah, I feel like it definitely if you hadn't been introduced to classic rock by, say, your parents, this was a introduction into that for sure.
But then there was like the Beatles one.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about a ton that of that one too.
Mm-hmm. Man, I forgot about that.
That was huge.
And here's a fun side story. So do you remember that at least for the first three games, so Guitar Hero 1 and 2 and Rock Band, there was like the bonus songs, which were really just songs from harmonix bands?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I do remember that.
Were they originals?
Yeah, so they weren't really bonuses. It was just like, okay, people on our payroll wrote these songs, and we don't have to pay licensing fees. Here you go. One of the bands included was a band called Bang Camaro, which was like a concept band. The concept was, what if hair metal only had choruses?
Oh,
so it was
wow.
20 singers and five-piece band, and they did like 80 songs, but only choruses. And they didn't tour with everybody, so they had like local chapters of choruses, and I was part of the Chicago chapter because of Rock Band.
Hey. That is amazing.
How I got to play at the Double Door. I got listeners, my fingers are very close together, to playing at Lollapalooza, but the head of the Chicago chapter forgot my name when he submitted the list of people who needed passes. So, and then they got fucking interviewed by Kyle Gass from Tenacious D after
that's
their set.
Amazing.
Isn't that a bummer?
Oh man.
Yeah. Man, I don't know how you're such a happy-go-lucky guy after that. Jesus Christ, I'd be mad.
I would have lost myself inside of a bottle at that point if that happened to me.
Oh, boy. Well,
You guys have to realize at that point I was playing guitar twice a week at Potbelly in Maryville, Indiana. So, my dreams were already fulfilled.
Yeah, this is when you were really riding that roller coaster.
Yeah.
Still doing loop-de-loops, baby. Yeah. Just... Oh, man.
Free sandwiches till the cows come home.
Yikes. Is that true if you play at Potbelly's?
Used to be true. Now it's half price. Actually, I don't know about now.
Fuck
I haven't done
you,
it for 3 years.
Come on, Potbelly's. That sandwich cost you 30 cents.
I reject any sponsorship you were going to give us, Potbelly's, over this.
I just went into a Potbelly a few weeks ago and saw they have a do not playlist for their artists now. And it's 40 big artists. I guess they got sued. And now, their musicians can't play. Like, the one that really killed me was Bruce Springsteen. I would have had to play if I couldn't play Bruce. Bon Jovi. And, Irving Gershwin was on there. Who's playing Gershwin at Potbelly anyway?
That should all be public domain at this
point. It should be, yeah.
His estate, man, they're fucking litigious as fuck.
Say this. I was at the Potbelly's in Midway Airport back in May. And the player there was singing a Rihanna song that almost made me cry. I didn't know the Rihanna song, and I was like, this is beautiful. And my girlfriend Annette was like, that's Rihanna. You don't like Rihanna. I'm like, I don't know what it is about this girl, but there's so much emotion
in
her voice.
She's putting so much of herself into Rihanna's music.
Midway Airport Potbellies.
Dude, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with
that's
that.
It's interesting.
You can feel wherever you want, man.
Rihanna's on the Do Not Playlist.
Well, then she was
shit. We broke the story. Yeah. Here we are.
As is Toto.
a lot of people playing Africa.
Maybe just one song.
Yeah, probably
don't want to.
The Eagles and Don Henley.
They're just so fucking sick of hearing Hotel California.
Yeah. I feel like.
Oh, man.
And then it also just says TV.
TV.
Maybe it means TV on the radio. Maybe it means TV theme song.
Probably TV.
We'll never know.
Songs, yeah. Probably no Doug theme song.
There's a band called Television, right?
Yes, yeah.
But it would be, it should
be television, yes.
Then again, maybe
unless
the
Marquee Moon, classic TV, television song.
The legal interns at Potbelly maybe aren't hip to television now that I think about it.
Probably.
That makes
not.
Sense.
Probably.
Sure.
Not.
I can't.
But Toto.
Toto makes me laugh so hard. The idea, and now, oh man. I just...
Hurry, boy, he's waiting there.
She's waiting. Whoa, got progressive there.
Rosanna.
Let's not forget Hold the Line, which I think is actually a great song.
That's a good
Doesn't sound like the rest of their singles.
No. Yeah. A lot of yacht rock on that list.
Yeah, a lot of yacht rock.
Can't hit that note. All right, folks, let's take it again. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Gonna take a lot to drag me away from you.
Thank you, Tim. Done, folks. Consummate professional.
There's nothing that 100 men
are gonna do. I miss the rains down in Africa. Oh, God, this is the worst.
Eric, thank you for joining.
This is the worst thing we've ever done on this podcast.
You're welcome.
Season desist letter being written right now.
Yeah, by me. By me to me.
If you listen to Blank Cassette, it's probably breaking a lot of laws. Whatever.
Yeah, F the man, right? Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me on to
Absolutely,
promote my show.
Eric.
You know what? The Nerdologues, we really value hashtag brand synergy. So, you know.
There we go. There's a thing we all knew before we walked in this room.
Yep.
Oh my God, brand synergy.
Eric, when do new episodes go up?
So, that's a really great question. Blank Cassette episodes go up every Thursday morning. I'm committing to doing this for at least a year, but every episode takes me about 8 hours to do. So if I don't see ad revenue at the end of a year, you probably only get 52 episodes. So, yeah, but
it's more than
nothing
fair.
To cough at 52 episodes.
Every Thursday. Yeah, and then my other storytelling, or my other podcast, Your Stories, which is a Nerdologues production, comes out every Monday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great. Clayton, working
late 90s. Late 90s. Wednesdays, 10:30 at the IO Theater. That's IO Chicago. At some address on Kingsbury. I don't remember. Go check it out. That's a great show. And I think it's seriously like $5 or more likely free if you just say, "Hey, I know Clayton. He was supposed to leave me a comp. Oh, he didn't? Oh, what a goofball. Oh, well. Can I get the ticket anyway?" If you say that at the door,
they really
and
will
it's convincing, they
probably
most likely will give you a free ticket.
This has worked for me a couple times. You go, my girlfriend's in this show. They'll just give it to you.
Yeah. This is more on insider trading within the comedy community. We're going to steal all that money right out of Sharna's pocket if we can.
Sharna's listening to this podcast right now, cursing us.
She doesn't care. As long as you're not giving away free training center classes, I'm sure she doesn't care.
Or good free thing, drinks or free hot wings. Speaking of hot wings, come down to the Annoyance Theater Saturday
and
at
guys,
8 o'clock. What?
There's just no way Sharna knows what a podcast is. Come on.
That's
probably true. Come on. Look at her internet presence on social media and you will know just what you're dealing with.
Kellen?
Annoyance Theater, 8 o'clock on Saturdays. Please come down to the final production of the Dead Boy Scout musical. I was actually at the Morton Arboretum this weekend. I saw a guy with a Philmont Scout Camp shirt, which is where the show is based. And I said, "Oh, that's great. Did you go to Philmont?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, I was a counselor there." I'm like, "Oh, that's crazy. I do a musical, a comedy musical." And he's like, "Oh, what, did that run like a few years ago?" He's like, "Oh, yeah, we opened it in 2011. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I saw you guys opening night. You were great.
Oh, cool.
And it was really fucking sweet." So
that's awesome.
Yeah, come and see it at the Annoyance Theater. I have no idea how much it costs.
But
I wish,
if you say it at the door.
But if you say it at the door.
Clayton Margeson was supposed to
give me a comp ticket. I was going to say something about Com and McNapier, but we can go with Clayton.
Holy God in heaven.
Oh,
okay.
My God. Tim.
15 Minutes with Lincoln, my podcast.
It's getting crazy.
It's getting pretty crazy. I mean, we had a big fight. We came back together.
The reunion episode's really good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We got a few things in the pipeline coming up. I mean, it's going to end at the election, so that's about it. The nice people of Hitch Cocktails have asked me to sit in a couple times lately, so come out and see that show. Also at the Annoyance Theater. Mm-hmm. I think that's everything. Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Clayton. Take us out with one of your catchphrases.
Oh, well, if it's free, it's okay by me.
Bye, everyone.
I like the rhyming.
That's nice.
This has been a Nerdologues production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdologues to donate today. And go to www.nerdologues.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot2354 8X.